There we go. So great. Thank you. Welcome. Good to see all of you. Does anybody want to do introductions? I mean, we do this quarterly. I know everybody. I think we've all been on the call before. So if anybody objects, I'd like to just skip over introductions. And our first order of business, we need to review slash approve the minutes from our March 31st meeting. Hopefully everybody received those. They were on the invite and got a chance to review and see if they had any comments or changes or anything. Anybody have any concerns about the March 31st minutes? Seeing none, I do believe we have to actually have a motion to approve and then a second. If somebody would please entertain that for me.
I'll make a motion to
I'll motion
approve.
to approve.
Or I can be
I'll
second.
second
There you go. And whichever way.
However you want to, however that gets recorded.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Dana. So yeah, on to the more interesting stuff. Eric from West Lynn had asked about shared laterals and how everybody's kind of dealing with those. And Dana actually had some questions also about lateral rehab, and how everybody's handling ownership and rehab and work on private property. So I'd like to kind of open it up to a roundtable discussion. Eric, if you wouldn't mind kind of asking your question, and then we can all kind of chime in.
So this is didn't really have anything to present or a specific case recently. They've sort of died off. But what happens is with these tear downs and rebuilds, infill projects, we discover that multiple houses are on a shared lateral. Our municipal code and public work standards do require individual homes to have individual laterals. And so we've had a lot of pushback because in certain cases, that's a hardship for single family remodel or rebuild if they have to either extend a main or a long individual lateral to a point of connection. And so we've kind of just been operating that until the point of repair, we let it go. But if it needs to be repaired, they have to separate. So I was really just kind of curious what everybody else is doing. Dana, I think some time ago, Josh had shared, it looks like you guys have an actual policy, which is great. Josh shared that with Amy, I think. And so we have that. I haven't went through it in any detail, but I was kind of just curious what everybody else's policy and what their experiences are.
I know we have some out in Hoodland. They're more prevalent. Matt, correct, Matt and Kyle, Jeff, correct me if I'm wrong. We also, any kind of when we find them and it's redeveloped, we require one service connection per property kind of thing. We can share with you, Eric, our development review person, Don Kemp, would be more knowledgeable than any of us on the call about how we handle and what we've been requiring people to do.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, I can understand, especially if you're talking a lateral that goes back to a couple of flag lots and now they have to extend like an 8-inch pipe to pick up multiple properties. That would be interesting on how to deal with. All ours in Hoodland, I don't think. Well, yeah, we do have some of those. It's a 6-inch with no clean out that goes back and ties up four houses or something.
Where's that at?
Hoodland, out by the mountain, Welch's, Rhododendron. We have the Hoodland treatment facility out there, and we serve about 1,000 customers or so out in that area. So, but a lot, I was thinking most of those were, you know, literally two side by side houses that come to one, you know, Y in the street or right at the edge of right away and one connection into the main.
Yeah. Well, and like the other day, we had one come up through our building, you know, because they do the plumbing inspections and so on. And the one neighbor fixed their sewer without getting a permit. And then somehow we got wind of it and went and was like, oh, well, you're on a shared lateral. You need to fix that. But then how do you put that on the other homeowner when they had nothing to do with it? I don't know. So it always, nothing's easy and they're all different.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I'll put you in touch with Don. He can share with you our development standards and stuff. He would be much more familiar with recent situations that have come up with development and stuff. At Clean Water Services, when we would do INI rehab in a neighborhood, we did include laterals to the homeowners' properties and all the way to the clean out at the foundation. And any since we were doing that, we already had to excavate to reconnect the lateral. We provided two separate connections and fixed them for them. So those lucky folks that lived in those II rehab areas got it done for them. Outside of that, I don't know if they forced people when they were fixing or redeveloping to separate them.
Yeah. Is anybody else dealing with the issue or have it come up? Jennifer, Milwaukee, or?
Yeah, there's definitely some old stuff out there, some party lines that we definitely have. But if they redevelop, we definitely require them to have a single. The homeowner is responsible for the connection all the way to the main, even that connection piece. That's all on the homeowner per code. So for us, it's really easy to point that, hey, no, this is a requirement and you need to go all the way to the main. But we still find those old ones. And if they need repair, we definitely ask them to separate it and move it out. I got a new project coming up from Waverly Heights. And that's where I've definitely have got some party lines that we have to look at to see what we can do. This is pipeline that's in the back of these million-dollar homes. And we don't own the roads either up here. They're all public roads. So that one's going to be quite interesting on how we figure it out how to clean that up. So, more to come.
Darren, I know in Gladstone you've got some older construction and stuff, probably some party laterals. Have you guys even had to tackle that yet or way down on the list?
Well, it's on the list. Typically what we'll do is if they're going to replace a lateral or anything like that, they have to split it at that time, which is sounds like it's pretty similar to what everybody else is doing. It makes it very hard to go in and, you know, strong arm everybody and say, hey, you got to change all this. It's more on a case by case basis. It's in our construction standards and everything like that. So it's pretty much similar to what everybody else is doing.
Cool. Dana, I know you had some questions, not even just separating party laterals or II rehab and lateral rehab, if you want to pose a question to the group.
I think my question is just kind of curious on like an II project, how different agencies are approaching the laterals. In Oregon City, we own the lateral to the right-of-way line. So on a project, we would do the lateral to that point. But then just really curious if folks are doing the private laterals with public funds. Are you creating some kind of a joint shared cost program? Are you making the homeowner do it kind of under a mandate of reducing INI? I'm just curious how others are looking at that.
Jen, I don't know if you know, but I think it was about 10 years ago, Milwaukee actually did, Landis and Landis did some pipe bursting for you guys and did some lateral rehab. And I can't remember, I'd have to look at a map to see the streets, but I didn't know if you guys included that in your contract or if that was, you got reimbursed by homeowners.
Not sure, because we are all the way to the main. So that kind of surprised me we would be doing laterals. So I definitely know I pipe burst. But yeah, we required them to go all the way to the main. So I'd have to look a little more into that.
Yeah, I seem to remember Lance actually, Lance Landis was arguing with you guys because you wanted pressure testing of the lateral and there was no way to plug it at the main kind of thing. So maybe that was Oregon City, but I know they were working in Milwaukee at one point. So
they do work for us. We do like them actually.
Yeah. They did a lot of work for me out at Clean Water Services, and Clean Water Services actually did a resolution order, I think is what they call it, that allows them to spend funds on private property and to rehab private laterals because it's in a II reduction area and the benefit to the downstream capacity. They do absorb the cost. So I can share the resolution order that they have. And we actually, Fisher Forest Park is one of our projects that, although not one of the 19 basins, it's a rather discrete 26 homes collection system that's on a large on-site septic system. And we're going to, it does have issues with INI. And we're going to be replacing the collection system and working on the treatment side of things as well. But we are planning on replacing laterals all the way to the home. So as part of that.
We're like Milwaukee, where the owners own all the way to the main. So we haven't ever addressed the laterals in rehab. It's always been talked about, but haven't really had the bandwidth to try to push forward with a policy. I want to say that several years ago, I sat in on a deal where I think McMinnville has some sort of a policy where they pay for a portion of it, but the majority of it is homeowner funded, but the city does contribute, I believe. I don't know if you've ever talked to anybody over there. It's been too long ago. I can't remember.
Yeah, interesting enough, both Clean Water Services and WES, we're like Milwaukee and West Lynn. Homeowner owns it all the way to the main.
Mm-hmm.
But if there is a structural defect, we do have the option to assist them. So it was, we did permits of entry, you know, it's no guarantee, no warranty. We'll come in, do the work for you, and it's back to yours to operate and maintain. So.
Is there a lot more companies that are doing lateral rehab now?
We always had it as part of, Canby Excavating did it for us, Landis and Landis did it for us. We would burst majority of them, dig a pit up 5 feet from the foundation, and we were pipe bursting the main line, so you already had to dig a pit to reinstate. So you had your downstream pit already, and they would do the 4-inch burst.
Hmm.
Is there any other questions or discussion or anything? I will definitely, I'll send out the RNO resolution order I have from Clean Water Services for everybody to see. I may actually have McMinnville's policy because I pulled stuff like that when we were looking into our lateral ownership issues. And King County actually has a great webpage with all of their INI information on it. And they're kind of like a West. They're bigger wholesale, some retail, but they have all their INI program and reduction stuff up online. You can download. So, well, another thing I had to discuss or talk about, if anybody's interested, I know we're all busy, and I wanted to share with you some of our collection system projects and stuff that are underway. If there's interest, more than happy to share. We have, as most of you probably know, the I-205 widening project has begun with ODOT, and we actually have a 20-inch force main included to be hung on the bridge, and that will be going forward over the course of the next, I think it's 4 or 5 years of construction, but we're getting that portion installed. It's turns out it's much cheaper to put a pipe on a bridge than it is to bore under a river. Go see. Go figure. But that'll be happening. And thank you to both Westland and Oregon City, because traffic impacts are going to be a mess for a long time. On our hydraulic modeling with II reduction and our capacity improvement projects, we rely heavily on our hydraulic model. And I'm working with Jacobs on I believe it's a 6-year contract to do 2 5-year updates. Our hydraulic model was created back in about 2017 using 2015-ish flow meter data. So since we're tracking INI reduction and timing our capacity increases based on our flows projections, we're going to make sure we keep that model up to date and as accurate as possible. So I may be reaching out to each member community to see if you have any recent flow metering data. We use our data from our permanent flow meters that are down at the bottom of the basin, but we would use your data to kind of distribute that total flow into the characteristics of what your smaller metering basins are. Helps so that we don't have 1600 acre basins that we say reduce INI in here. Oregon City and Westland had wonderful flow data. We were able to and Gladstone as well. We were able to subdivide and really pinpoint smaller, reasonable size basins. Our Clackamas area improvements. This is our large interceptor that actually goes from Rock Creek, the 212-224 split, flows down towards I-205, back around by Camp Withicum, comes out at Costco, comes down to our IT2 pump station that's behind Lowe's over in Milwaukee. This is the big interceptor that collects unincorporated Clackamas County and Happy Valley mostly. And we need to upsize that and also upsize the Intertie 2 pump station, which then takes flow out of that system that would have gone by gravity to our Kellogg Creek facility in Milwaukee and pumps it down to our Tri-City facility where we have the capacity to treat it. And Jeff's actually heading up that project to upsize IT2 and complete the 30-inch force main. Willamette area capacity improvements. This will affect Westland in the next few years. That was another one where the Willamette pump station needs to be upsized, and we will be replacing that station with approximately 10 MGD station and a force main to get to the I-205 bridge. We will have already installed the portion on the bridge to get us over to the Oregon City side. Steven's working on a request for proposals for that. Hopefully early fall, we will have something advertised and get a consultant on board to do design of that. I just had a bid opening for our Group 1 pump station upgrades. This includes our Timberline Rim, Clackamas, and River Street pump stations. It's all control and electrical upgrades mainly. little bit of valving and piping and stuff, but very happy. It came in right around engineer's estimate. We did get three bids, so that was encouraging. And we'll be awarding that shortly and doing those upgrades over the course of the next year. We're also replacing some valves and air relief valves, as in gate valves and air relief valves on our Bolton and River Street force mains. We did do the replace the actual valves that intertie the two force mains, giving us the operating ability to use one force main to get under the river and isolate the other force main and replace the air relief valves on that. So that's underway. Thank you very much to Mike Cardwell from West Lynn, who helped us overnight with that. And it's always a stressful and long time when we shut those pump stations down. And hopefully the air relief valves will be replaced in the next 3 weeks or so, and we'll be able to use just the intertie valves between the force mains and won't need to shut anything down. So, and then also our Bolton pump station upgrades. Some of you may recall we had a force main break on our Bolton pump station force main, and actually had two breaks and emergency repairs done. And when we did the emergency repair, we actually rerouted a portion of force main. None of us thinking that we were adding 20 feet of static head to that pump station, and now need larger pumps to bring us back up to the previously existing capacity of that station. So we have the pumps ordered. They're supposed to be arriving at Tri-City today, and we have a contract out to bid, should be opening in July, and we'll be installing the new pumps so that we bring that station back up to its firm capacity, and upgrading some controls and electrical there as well. So lots going on. Is there anybody want to share what you're doing or what you have actively going on in your areas?
Hey, Jessica, we can share briefly. We have a few things going on. We're in construction with a CIPP lining project for 20 or 30,000 length feet of sanitary sewer pipe. So that's underway. We just bid a small public improvements project, and we are working on finalizing design scope and fee for the Calaroga pump station improvement. We'll be replacing that pump station to get it outside of the 100-year floodplain. And then we'll also be upgrading some controls and electrical components of our other pump stations. Is there any other projects? Those are the big ones.
Yeah, the lining project is the one I've been talking about for a little bit. It's the one basin 1A. It was the leaky one when we did the master plan. So
yep.
Hopefully reduce Maya and I.
Nice. Eric, is there any talk of in West Lynn going to VFDs, or are we still going to stay pump station controls kind of?
No, we'll talk about it. Maybe it's by the time we get there, you know, I think Mike's not too far from retirement. So maybe once he's on his way out, we can look at doing something else.
Yeah. If you're, staff or anybody's ever interested, you're more than welcome to reach out. And Kyle is our field ops supervisor. I'm giving you work, Kyle. Reach out to Kyle and we can tour you around some of our pump stations and talk to our operators and all that stuff if it would be of interest. You know, majority of ours, especially the bigger ones, are VFD controlled, so, or have VFDs. Yeah. We're happy to share experience or equipment or specs or whatever with you.
Thank you.
Welcome.
We've got a small wastewater project that should be going out or bidding out here pretty soon in about a couple months. So that's exciting. It's some work that we've been wanting to get done for a while. But then our biggest project that's approved in our next budget starting July 1 is the Waverly Heights. So that's what we'll be really pushing for, getting the RFQ out so we can get a consultant on board. And then we've got a little time before we'll actually build it.
Yeah, that one will be interesting, Jen. You know, behind property now, and you're talking about bringing it out in front of the property.
Yeah, I don't know if we can actually. So we will see. It may have to stay where it's at. We may be pipe bursting.
Yeah.
Or even lining in certain spots. So it's we're basically in major bedrock. And we don't own anything in that area. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, let me know. Okay. Landis and Landis always did our pipe bursting out in Clean Water Services, and nice. Definitely know their stuff. We can talk offline about language in million-dollar home neighborhoods, but.
Sounds good.
Dana, do you guys have any?
So we had our bid opening for the Rivercrest Basin Phase 3, which was our pipe bursting and open trench, which is part of the INI reimbursement program. Our engineer's estimate was about, I think, $2.6 million, and the low bid, the only bid, was $2.9 million.
You only got one bid? Wow. That's scary.
Yeah. We're going with it to get the project done.
Yeah.
I think, was that Landis and Landis?
Yes.
Yeah. I emailed with Mike yesterday because we got no bids on a pipe project. And I reached out and said, what's going on? And he kind of listed out, there were multiple projects where there were only one bid in Oregon City, Lake Oswego, City of Portland. So, yep. Scary bidding world right now, and a lot of pipe work, so they've kind of, a lot of people are busy.
Wow. So we also bid another smaller sanitary sewer rehab project that was kind of a few miscellaneous things around town, and our engineer's estimate was $770,000. We got two bids on that one, $900,000 and $1.4 million.
That's kind of scary that they were so far different. You know, did they just not need the work, so they threw in a really high number, or did they misread or some unclarity on how to bid it, risk or whatever?
Their comments were the timeline was too tight.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and that was, I think that had some open trench and some CIPP lining, and, you know, the feedback we got was just really, you know, that was too tight of a timeline. If you want us to do it in that, then you're going to pay the $1.4 million for
them. Who's the low bid?
Western Construction.
Have you worked with them before?
On many of our projects, so other, you know, water and transportation projects, we're getting contractors we've never seen bid for projects in Oregon City.
Really? Oh, boy.
It's tough when we're all tied to low bid. So
I don't think I'm going to send my Waverly Heights out low bid.
Ah, nice.
We'll see.
Have the option, yeah.
Yeah.
Darren, anything to share from Gladstone?
Not a whole lot. We've started design work on our INI project. They've been out surveying everything for that. We're hoping to have all the design and everything done hopefully by the end of this year, so we can go out to bid for construction first part of next year. It's a pretty major project for us. Total project cost about $2.2 million. So, hopefully everything goes smooth and we can get this project off the list.
Great. Yeah, let me know when that's happening, Darren. We, you know, as you know, we have the meter out in front of the Gladstone pump station. We can help with, I think there were temporary meters that were used to kind of subdivide that area. But we can act, you know, help you with tracking flow reductions and all that fun stuff. see how.
Excellent.
Cool. Okay. Well, does anybody have anything they'd like to talk about? If not, I'll give us all back an hour of our lives.
A quick thing. What I'm just curious what avenue or what outlets people use to bid their projects. Came up on conversation of ours this in our capital group this morning about the fact that we've got zero bids on the on our Fisher Forest Park kind of pipe project. That's an engineer's estimate of around 700,000. So about the same size as that smaller one that over Oregon City you guys recently bid. And we got zero bids, as Jessica mentioned. And one of the things came up is that we, our county procurement, Clackamas County procurement only currently advertises to Oregon buys. And in Jessica's conversation with some other folks, they don't typically look at that out at that website. And so I was just curious where other folks, what other places people use to advertise, or if they only list at one location or another.
We usually do two for our procurement rules. So Oregonian and the DJC are my main ones as far as that goes. And then I talk to a lot of contractors. I know I got something coming out. I actually give them a heads up that it's coming.
Yeah. Yeah. I reached out to, I had a list of 8 contractors that I, for the that Fisher Forest Park project that I either reached out to directly via email or if I just knew the company did the work but didn't have a contact, went to their website and was like, it's on Oregon Buys. Here's the number. Here's the name. Think you'd be interested in it. And we only had 3 primes even pull the paperwork, and none of them were the ones that I had reached out to. So
that's scary.
Yeah.
I did confirm with procurement this morning. We had a meeting at 10. They do advertise in DJC. It's just that they post the documents on Oregon Buys.
I see.
We operate like you do, Jennifer. We have to, per our contracting rules, advertise in 2 different publications. So we do the DJC and the Westland Tribune.
Yeah, and I think a sister company of the DJC is the Business Tribune, if I'm not mistaken. So I think they started putting it in that as well. But traditionally, it was the Westland Tidings and the DJC. So.
We do DJC, and then we post the documents on our, it's an internal like bidding site on the city's webpage. And to be, to sign up as a plan holder, you have to create an account. And then, the way it happens is anytime we post anything, everybody that's created a login gets notified. So
that's us too.
Yeah.
Us too.
Same thing.
So we kind of have like a little database of people, and everybody gets notified when we post something.
Yeah. Ours got hacked though a couple months ago. That sucked.
Oh, no.
Does anybody get a lot of phone calls or emails from those plan centers? It's like, just look it up. They want to know who we bid it to and how much for. And it's like, all on the website. Just go to the website. Stop wasting everybody's time. Or sign up, like you said, as a plan holder and you'll know.
Yeah, well, because even if you sign up as a plan holder, then if we post an addendum or notice of intent to award, then they get notified of all of those.
Yeah,
the Oregon Buys website where the plans are held for us. You can go; you don't even have to create an account to see all that stuff. You can just go to the website as long as you can find the project, and you can get the plan holders lists and the addendums and that sort of thing. Not sure if the intent to award gets posted, if you can see that, but all the rest of the stuff you can see even without having to have an account to get the plans. I think you do have to make an account, but you can see the plan holders list and see a list of all the stuff that's been posted without having signed up for anything. Thank you. That's helpful.
Great. Anybody else? Okay. As always, please, if you have questions, reach out, send me an email. I can network, put you in touch with the right people. Happy to share, specs and development standards and whatever, and why recreate the wheel. We might as well all crib off of each other. I'm not shy. So thank you all. It's great to see you all, and we'll see you in 3 months. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.